Good morning, Westwood. This is our first sound check because I forgot to come get it. So you just got the sound check. And it is working. So last week was Jason's big reveal, right? There were some who were shocked that Jason likes stage plays. I can see it. Okay? I'm glad that he enjoys them. I've been drugged to a few, and I should have a greater appreciation of it. It's a fantastic way to get a message across. So here's my great secret. Jason emboldened me last week. If you get into any of my vehicles that I drive and turn it on, you're going to hear classical music. Yes, that gentle Scott that you know, the sweet, gentle, nice guy, I just thrive on classical music. And I can't understand anything but classical music because it doesn't have words. I know a few songs, maybe. The Devil Went Down to Georgia. Be transparent, right? What's Kenny Rogers? He maybe one or two of his. The Gambler, I do know some of the lyrics from The Gambler. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. I didn't grow up listening to music. I tried to spend as little time as possible in my house. It was not a peaceful place to live and be. So I spent a lot of time in the woods, reading at the library, reading anywhere, reading in class, reading, doing fifth grade over again because I read so much the first time in fifth grade, reading. But love classical music. Took a music appreciation class at the big institution of Durham Community College and had to have something, and I thought this would be the least painful, and it was the best class that I ever took at Durham Tech, but just fell in love with it and have thrived on it ever since. A lot of times when I'm studying or getting ready for something or just sitting there doing housework, whatnot, I'll have it on in the background. And then Vivaldi's Spring and will pop off and I'll move a little faster. Then the winter comes and I'll slow down. So anyway, that's my thing. So now you've found out that Jason is a man of the stage. I'm a man of the orchestra. Together we could come together, and Jason, we could probably enjoy some stuff together. I'm telling you. Watch out for future productions from the Williams Engel Ensemble. So you've got your Bibles. He's already told you we're going to be doing Colossians 3, 1 to 17. I'm going to read through it, get everybody's ears opened up, knock out some of that spiritual wax that's built up over the last week of hearing the noise of the world, right? And then we're going to pray, and then we'll get into it. And bless his heart, Matthew asked me, do you want me to leave a song off, do whatever? I said, bro, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You do at the end whatever you got time to do. So, if y'all just say amen at the end, that's okay. Amen. All right. So listen as we go to God's Word. Everybody there. Oh, Holly told me, if you don't know, I have the hat and the glasses, MS, heat sensitive, all that stuff. Is that covered, honey? Sure. It's not disrespectful to the Lord. I don't mean it. It's just, it is what it is. And these lights are very bright. But that's okay. So, and if you're at home, we love you so much. See you next Sunday. So, Colossians 3, 1 to 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Verse 11, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, make us more like You, please. Put to death the things in us that separate us from You. Lord, drag out into the light that which we attempt to hide in the darkness. Lord, You know our hearts. You know that which we struggle with, that which we are constantly embattled with in our flesh, in our thought life, in our minds, in our hearts, in our deeds. Lord, we seek to please You and You alone. Lord, I want to be a good husband and a good dad and a good friend and a good pastor and all the things that this world would put a label on. But in order to do that, I've got to first of all please You. And knowing that if I'm pleasing You, I'll please all these other things. I'll be a great husband to Holly and a good dad to my kids. But Lord, make my heart seek You and You alone. Lord, help us, Your people, Your bride, take a Brillo pad to our hearts, scrubbing off the blemishes, presenting ourselves before You daily, Lord, through prayer and supplication and confession and repentance. Lord, let us do the work that we need to do on our part. That's only done through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us be motivated to do away with the things of this world, the filth of this world that splashes up on us day by day. Lord, drive us to repentance. Drive us to confession. Help us to scrub away this world's mess and come before You on bended knee, seeking to learn from Your word what You would have us to do today, tomorrow, the week and months and years to come. Lord, there's a beautiful lesson here. There's a beautiful message in this passage. Lord, let us not just hear it. Lord, let us live it. Lord, let us not just say, good sermon, preacher. Instead, let it just punch us in the gut as it has punched me in the gut, having gone over it yet again, that these are real things, that You're really here in our midst right now. You're looking and seeking for us to turn to You away from the things that we put above You. So, Lord, let us put on the things that please You. Put off the old and put on the new. Lord, we love You so much. Thank You for saving us. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. First two words of this passage. If then, if then. You can read back and say what the if then is referring to, but it's there for a reason. If then you have been raised with Christ. If we have been raised with Christ. If we are the redeemed, seek the things that are above. That's logical, right? Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In order for something to be raised in the person of Christ, thinking of Christ, for him to be raised by the Father, what first had to happen? This isn't Sunday school. I got to stop asking for questions and giving pauses. Sorry. Christ had to die. He didn't die just to die because that was something fun that he had on his agenda. No. He died a horrific, terrible death. For you and me to be sitting here today looking at his word 2,000 plus years later with his spirit dwelling within us, rejoicing that we are his. If that doesn't excite you and get you all giggly and tingly that Jesus loves us that much, I don't know what could. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be his. I want you to have that excitement day to day. Carry it with you. There is joy in the Lord. Amen? Our joy can be found in our families, in our children, in our vocation, in our hobbies. We can find joy there. But our joy, capital J-O-Y, should be in the Lord and Him alone. Jesus, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. He is there. Okay, he is daily interceding on our behalf. The thought still, after being a believer since 13 and change, 12 and a half and change, whenever it was, okay, the thought of a holy and righteous God approaching him without being in Christ, even as I was preparing for this, it just is terrifying, right? There is a holy fear that comes and should come and abide within us when we are before God. And I am so thankful that God sees me through Jesus. That I am adopted into the family of God through what Christ did on my behalf. And he is there in front of God saying, Father, he is yours. I love him. He's called upon my name. These people in this room love you. They are serving you because I've empowered them. I've saved them through my sacrifice. The conversation that the Spirit and the Son and the Father have, we'll never be able to understand it completely. But we have what he's given us in his word. We have everything that we need for holiness and godliness. And so we take it and we apply it and we live it and we do it. You know, it says here, seek the things that are above. You know, this is not a where's Elmo kind of thing, okay? Which, by the way, I never could find Elmo, so that's probably why I despise that book. But anyhow, this is a look for it until you find it, okay? This is a crucial thing. Seek it. Look for it till you find it. If you lose your wallet or your keys or your phone, you seek it, right? I mean, you will tear the house to pieces. Call loved ones. Curse children. Say, who moved my stuff? Until you find it. Because it stops things. It stops the forward progression of your day if you can't leave your driveway. Okay? Now the phone, you can leave it. Honestly, you know, I could care less about the phone thing. As long as I'm with somebody that's got one, I'm good. Holly often gets a text, this is so-and-so, Scott forgot his phone, send. You know, because that leash isn't permanent yet, but like leaving the house without the keys, leaving without my wallet. You know, you step out, you go boom, 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 boom. I'm good. You know, I can roll now. But we've got to seek the things that are above where Christ is. You know, as you're preparing, Jason, whoever, teachers, as you're preparing stuff, you write notes in the sidelines. I wrote early is on time and on time is late. Now, my family's heard that forever. I don't know why it's here. When I was preparing this, it made sense. Just know that for future reference. Okay? Just apply that to your life. It's a good life rule. Early is on time is late. Can I get an amen? Army, that's what it, that, hey, it must be what it is. But seek the things that are above, okay, where Christ is. Look for it. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Set your minds. Okay, is that a gentle, oh, think about it occasionally? The word that jumped into my head this morning as I was making these notes, and you're going to say, you waited till this morning to do this? I read this like a dozen times yesterday. But yes, this was like a quick turnaround. And I'll be transparent. Always be transparent, right? I preached this at Bethany on 8/25/24. Because it says it right here at the top of my sheet. But I put before it Westwood 3/22/2025. So you won't have to hear this one again. But if you're here from Bethany back in August, I'm sorry. But I guarantee you it's changed since then. But yes, this morning, sitting here going back over it, just, you know, taking the notes, you know, praying through it. The epoxy. Anybody ever used, like, real epoxy? Not that Gorilla Glue mess, but I'm talking about like the J.B. Weld two-part stinks, makes your hands smell for days where you got to mix it. That stuff sets up, and it's rock solid. I've got things on my car held together with J.B. epoxy. Jonathan Newton is dying inside right now, okay? Because he knows I've got tape on my dashboard covering lights. It's a, you know, a point of joyful contention between us. But, you know, set it so it won't move. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Make it so that it's hard to separate. It's firmly affixed. It's not, you know, we're not talking about Velcro. You know, people should in my life should not hear in the decisions I make and in the things that I say, the actions that I partake in. You know, it should be set. It should be solid. And that's just something we can shoot for, right? None of us are here perfectly, and that's the beauty of it. You never will be. Okay, so I'm going to exhort you to do all these things today, and guess what? You're going to leave here and die never having perfected any of this. And that's beautiful. Because once you think you've got it, you'll stop trying, and it'll fall away. So make it a constant effort to seek Christ, to set your minds on these things that are above. For you have died. Go back to verse 1. Christ was raised because he died. We have died to ourselves. We have died, and our life, our new life, is hidden with Christ in God. There are so many layers to that onion, but it's just joy knowing that I died to my old self. Now, will you occasionally see the old self? Yes. We all see that in each other, you know. Our spouses see it, our kids see it, our coworkers see it. Because we don't walk this narrow path 24/7 perfectly, but we should want to. We should desire it. When Christ, verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Wow. That's just awe-inspiring. So when you see Christ, Okay, when he comes, you're going to finally see one another the way that Jesus sees us now. Okay? Because he sees my present self, but he also sees my future self. Because he's omniscient. And he understands and knows that the Scott that I see now that needs working on, that needs constant reminders, constant correction, constant rebuke and reproof from the Word and from the fellowship, from the body. I see what he's going to be. And in that, he's going to take joy. He takes joy now. We bring joy to the Lord. We can grieve him with our sin, but we can bring him joy with our pursuit of holiness and righteousness. I will not see the real you until then. And you will not see the real me. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to you seeing me. I'm looking forward to seeing myself. I mean, I don't know if there's any mirrors in heaven. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, I'm thinking about 185, 6'5", shoulders this wide, waist this little. Not really. What I'm really looking for is a heart and a mind that is fully focused on God and fully focused on serving him for all of eternity and is pure and is not in any way damaged, in any way putting out just the filth of this world, even out of my own mouth, my own heart. I want to be like Jesus. That's the goal. So I'll see the real you. You'll see the real me. And then we get into verse 5 here, and I've got some pink highlights. Folks, I put out a highlighter, okay? I went the extra step, okay? I mean, when Scott starts highlighting stuff, you know he's serious. So there's a word here that just jumped off the page, put. And it kept coming up. I'd read through, put. Okay. And I'm thinking, everybody here has got the places you put stuff in your house, right? Husbands, your wife probably hates all the little piles of places that you put stuff. Because you come into my house, on the left, there's a file cabinet. I'll put stuff. Okay. And then I've got another place in the hallway where I'll put stuff. And then the whole downstairs is where I put stuff. Okay. And you know, if you put your stuff where I put my stuff, we're going to have issues. But the definite, I did a definition, you know, where you Google up a word and the definition pops up and it made perfect sense. To purposely place or do. It's intentional. It's an action. Okay. I'm not saying, this is not a resting word. This is a action. I don't even know if it's a verb. I don't know if it's adverb, adjective, whatever it is. Did she just slip adverb? I don't know. She's my English grammar checker. But to me, when I see put to death, therefore what is earthly in you, it means put into action the plan to kill it. Amen? Stop being comfortable with the things that are earthly that we have just made our best friends or we've allowed to hang out in our lives. Put it to death. Sunday school class, you've heard me. Folks, you take it behind the barn and shoot it in the head. Leave it be. Please. Put it to death. What's the earthly things that are in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, and everything else that you can think of that makes you less like Jesus, put it to death. Look in the mirror of your heart, and if it does not reflect Christ and his glory, put it to death. Because guess what? Verse 6. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. I am so glad that God is coming back. Amen? And guess what else is going to happen? We're going to see all the things that our hearts really desire to see now. We want to see a perfect government. Amen? Guess what? You're not going to see it. It's not going to happen. You're going to be disappointed by both sides of the aisle, by every human institution for the rest of your life. We will never see perfect justice and judgment and goodness. We'll never see anything perfect in this world. Okay? That day is coming. Part of that is the perfect wrath of God coming against all the things that we look and see in our culture and we know is just antithetical to who Christ is. And we get all torqued up and bent up about it, right? You can lose your peace being righteously angry about anything. And it may be a good thing to be mad about. But do you really want to lose your joy and your peace getting mad about something that you can't fix, but that King Jesus will one day? And you may have heard me say it. I may have said it last time. No one gets away with anything. Rest there. Hunker down there. Nobody gets away with anything. Well, so-and-so got off because they were not read their Miranda rights. They did not get off. Okay, they may not spend 20 years in jail, but they didn't get away with anything. So find a place where we can rest in the fact that God is sovereign. He misses nothing. His eyes go to and fro. And it's not the eye of Sauron, okay? We're not talking from behind a big wall and it's something creepy. It's the eyes of a holy and pure God looking at every man, woman, and child. Everything that's going on, nothing escapes His notice. And so it will be judged. And we want to be found righteous. We want Him to find us in the daily pursuit of putting to death the things that separate us from Him. And if we're not daily pursuing that, then what are we doing? If we're not daily pursuing holiness, why not? You can't say, I'm tired, I'm going to take the day off, I'm busy, I don't feel well. We all have issues. We all have things going on. God should never take a back burner, okay? God should always be on the front burner with a stove shaped like a triangle, and that front burner is God and God alone. And everything else is secondary to that. Your family, your wife, oh no, your kids, your grandkids, everything is secondary to Christ. So these things, impurities, passions, evil desires, covetousness, greed, pride, wickedness, all this stuff, we once walked in these. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. We're all saved out of sin. Amen? And I don't care if you're 5 years old and you get saved, or if you're 85 years old and get saved, you're born into sin. This whole idea that our culture, current culture, has, that there's this blank slate idea that, you know, kids are born and they're pure and they're holy and they're lovely, and it's only the influence of the outside world that makes them mean or ugly or a bully or this. Go do extended care in 2-year-old class one Sunday, please. And take everything out except for one toy. And we will hear it in here the whole sermon, okay? We are born into sin, folks. We once walked in that, whether you could even walk at all. And so, whom are we in right now? Who are we in? We're in Christ. And there's a lot of freedom there. There's a huge amount of challenges, too. There is work. It is not easy being a Christian. Okay? It should not be. If you're living a life where your Christianity is easy, get into the Word. Okay? God gives us the grace to handle everything the world throws at us. But it promises us trial and tribulation and persecution. So if you're not going through any rough patches, okay, if God is not putting into your life, not temptation, but trial, ask why. Ask why. Because that's when we truly show our dependence on Christ and Christ alone. Verse 8, but now you must, here's that put word again. It's an action thing. It's something you can really do. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. These are not exhaustive lists. You may say, well, none of that applies to me. I'm a sweet little old lady. Okay, I don't have anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk from my mouth. So that does not apply to me. This is just a sample. Okay? This is that little bitty scoop of ice cream when you go in the Hoppers Poppers. Okay? I'd like to sample that. I'd like to sample that. Okay? This is just a sampling of the fallen nature of our hearts. What's, you know, malice. That was one word that jumped off the page to me. Malice. What really is malice? I know what slander is. But I'm trying, do I have a malicious heart? And so one more Google search later, right? And you think, you know what, that really does sound right. An intentional desire to do evil. Now I'm sure there's other definitions. Other things that you come to mind when you think of maliciousness. That is a malicious person. You don't think of puppy dog tails and happy days and little tulips coming up in that same sentence. Malicious. Slanderous. You've all heard it 1,000 times. I could say it and you could respond. If you don't have anything nice to say, folks, one of the biggest lessons we can learn as Christians is just to keep our cotton-picking mouths shut. Shut up! Right? We don't have to comment on everything. Because do we have all the information? Am I slandering by repeating what I've heard? I may be doing so unintentionally. I have fallen back in my own life, and it's driving everybody who knows me, you know, like my brother and friends and like I spend a lot of time with, they'll tell me something, and what are you doing? I'm pulling a Reagan. You know what a Reagan is? What was one of Reagan's most famous lines? Trust but verify. Thank you, Mr. Derek. Trust but verify. Don't pass on things you hear. You may be slandering. Don't start the slander. Keep your mouth shut. You know, love people and obscene talk from your mouth. I have covenanted together with a brother because I really, now, what the world calls obscene, we probably call disgustingly nasty and vulgar, okay? But obscene is to me anything that's not edifying, okay? I want the words that come out of my mouth to edify. And I was recently in a conversation with a brother, and again, full transparency. I'm like a piece of cheap glass. You can see right through me, okay? And I realized in hindsight the Holy Spirit gently knocked on my heart. Nope. Upside my head. And brought the conversation right back to my forefront. And, you know, a bunch of guys hanging around and stuff. And you know, would I say some of these words in front of ladies? No. Were they like bad words? No. They were what I'd like to call stub your toe words. Okay? You know, you stub your toe and we don't say, praise Jesus. You know, sometimes things come out of our mouths that they shouldn't. And in this conversation with this individual, I realized that I had allowed to creep in some unedifying words. Okay? The D word and the S word. Okay? And just, it came out. And I texted him. And I said, I am so sorry. The Holy Spirit is about to wear the back of my head out. It's probably not verbatim. I am so sorry. Please, when you hear me, if you hear me, just get in my grill about this. And this is an open invitation to all of you. Okay? If you hear me say anything ugly, get in my grill about it. I don't want to say anything that I wouldn't say in front of Jesus. Amen? Or your grandmother or whoever else you hold up in high esteem, you know. And he came back. He said, will do. Hold me accountable as well. Things from the world slip in. They slip under. They slip around. And before we know it, we're taking on things that the world is doing. And we need to just kill it. Do not lie to one another. Oh, folks. Do not lie to one another. Okay, that fish really was that big. Okay? You really did not run the 40-yard dash in under 9 seconds or whatever when you were in high school. Okay? You just tell the truth. Okay? There's no such thing as a little white lie. It's either the truth or not the truth. Okay? You know, the biggest buck I ever shot at, say that, okay, at, didn't mean you killed it. The biggest buck I ever shot at, I mean, it might have been a monster. You don't know, you didn't kill it. But you tell the story like he's hanging on your wall, okay? Just tell the truth. Seeing that you have, here we go again, put off the old self in action. I mean, think about it. You, it's like a, in my mind, it's always been like a skin. I just peel it off. And if I'm not careful, it'll crawl back on. Constantly, daily, hourly, put off the old self with its practices. It comes with the old self, people. It's in its pockets. Okay? We cannot be wearing the old self and not practice the things of the old self. But we got to put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Oh, where do we want to be? Where do we want to be? What do we want the world to see? Scott with his old cloak on, or Scott wearing the cloak that Jesus gave him, the new man, the new flesh, the new person? I'm telling you, if we're not careful, that slide happens oh so slowly. And it doesn't, people don't have to some people do now. They'll do a 180 and you won't recognize them. One minute they'll be praise Jesus, next minute they'll look just like the world and proclaim the things of the world. But most often it's such a gradual turn. It's a titanic turn. Okay? And before you know it, you look up. And there's not a lot of difference between you and the world. And folks, Jesus looks nothing like the world. Jesus came to save the world. Jesus loves the people in the world. But Jesus does not look like the world. Okay? And so if we are His and He is our Savior, we should look nothing like the world either. Verse 11. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. When I look out at you guys and gals, when I look out at the world, okay, my human mind instantly wants to begin to categorize and separate and divide and assign you to different boxes and different sections and this, that, and the other. No. My view of humanity, our view of humanity should be saved and unsaved, okay? And burrow into both. Don't assume that somebody's saved just because they're here every Sunday, and don't assume that somebody who you don't see every Sunday is not saved, okay? This is called, you have to talk to people. You've got to get to know people. You've got to invest in people. You've got to say, you know, okay, we're past the Greek and the Jew, the Scythian, the white, the black, the Democrat, the Republican. We're past all of this stuff. Where's your heart at in relation to Jesus Christ? Okay? That's what's important. Now, I wrote here myself, but Christ is all and in all. I know Christ is in all of us who love Him through the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Christ is all, my brain could not puzzle that out. I looked at it, read it. This is the one part I dipped into a commentary where it was absolutely no help. Maybe I'm just not as fast mentally as I used to be, or maybe I've just always been slow. So underneath it I wrote, mystery, question mark. And I'm okay with that. So if you got questions about that part of it, find somebody smarter than me. But Christ is all and in all. And it's there for a reason, and it's important. I'm just going to be honest with you. I couldn't suss that out. So we're moving on. Amen. Here we are. Number 12, put again. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Are these and all the other things. When I read this list, instantly Galatians 5 jumped to mind, 22 and 23. I think I got the address right on that one. Fruit of the Spirit, can we say yes or no to that? Okay, good. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. All the things that scream to the world, this person is of Jesus, in Jesus, and living because of Jesus. Okay? The things that are different about us that the world would recognize as being genuinely loving and different. Be different. It's okay. But we got to put them on. It's an action. Okay? I love this. We are God's chosen ones. We're chosen people. And I may or may not offend you with this statement. Not the goofy TV show. Okay, you may love it, you may hate it. I don't know. You can probably kind of tell where I'll come down on it. But not that kind. I am chosen by God from time past. He knew my name. He knew how many hairs I don't have on my head right now. Okay? He knew how many I did. He's known me from the moment of everything. He's known me time immortal. You know, when I was conceived and when I was born and when I got saved and when I did X, Y, and Z and when I'm standing right here right now, He knows. He's chosen me. He's chosen you. Rejoice in that. We are holy and beloved. That's how God sees us in Christ. If that didn't just want to make you just pass out in joy, I don't know what is. God sees us and He looks at us and He says, you are holy and beloved. Wow. We are holy and beloved. So knowing that God sees us this way, let us put on compassionate hearts. Let us have compassion. Do you have a compassionate heart? I don't know your heart. Jesus does, so you can't hide it from Him. But do we? Do we have compassionate hearts? Are we kind people? Are we jerks? There's plenty of jerks in the world. Okay? We need to be different. Are we humble? Is there a humility about us? Are we willing to say, I'm wrong? Are we willing to serve in such a way that people see Jesus proclaimed? Meekness and patience. Some of these I struggle with, you know, and as a man, you know, some of these land like, man, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. There's something in me like meek. I don't want people to think I'm meek, because meek rhymes with what? Weak. I don't want to be viewed as weak. I'm already old and decrepit and crippled. To be viewed as weak, I've got my end of the couch, you pick up yours. No, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is a state of heart. We are meek like Jesus was meek. Think about what Jesus put up with, people. Please, just for a second, stop and think about the abuse that he received from humanity. Okay? He received adulation and worship and praise. He received spittle in his face, a rod across his back, a crown of thorns, multiple attempts to kill him. He was meek and humble. He had a compassionate heart. He was patient and long-suffering. Hold on. This is a list that's telling me to be more like Jesus. So embrace it, grab hold of it, bury it down deep inside of your hearts. Be different than the world. That holy and beloved, that's our true state. Right? Even right now, that's our ultimate true state for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's just exciting. Bearing with one another, verse 13, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. And then I get colons and semicolons mixed up. As you can tell, English is not my strongest subject. Whatever that little thing is, I think it's a semi. Is that a semicolon? 13, forgiving each other, something. Thank you, Jason. So, see, you always go to somebody smaller than you. That phrase, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Highlighted again, the one another, because we'll see it in just a minute. I put bearing with one another while keeping your mouth shut, as before. Bearing with one another. We have to bear with each other all the time, right? And this is not a today statement, but, you know, there's been times in groups, whether it be church or at a ball game, or not ball game, it's really lacrosse. It's got a ball involved in it. Different places, social situations, restaurants especially, where somebody will come in and they'll have on a lot of cologne or perfume. Oh, that drives me nuts. I don't know about you. It's just one of my little things. Okay? And you just want to turn around and say, really? Is your natural smell that bad that you've got to cover it with that much stuff? You're gagging me, lady. Or sir, because some dudes throw so much stuff on. It's just be cheaper to take a bath. It's just, we have to bear with one another in the church. Are you perfect? I'm not perfect. If you know me, you know I'm not perfect. Okay? I was really expecting an amen from back there, but thank you. You're so sweet. Lisa, what my wife said. Bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, which we're going to, right? We're going to see and experience something from each other that's not going to sit well. Okay, that's going to offend us, and I may never know that I've offended you, and you may never know that you've offended me. It just may be that you parked. Why didn't you park in the middle of the parking spot, people? So now I'm crammed up in here, can't get my car doors open, and I'm tempted to just to hit you because you all up on my business. No. See, I mean, we deal with real things, and it can be monster things, or it can be little things. It really doesn't matter. It's our heart's response to that which is put right ahead of us. And if I have a complaint against you, guess what I should do? Keep my mouth shut. Now, unless it's a sin that needs addressing, okay? We're not talking like sin issues that need to be addressed. I don't think that's bearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Just suck it up, buttercup. Okay, they probably didn't mean to do it. Quit being so sensitive. And I'm talking to myself. You know, just we're so easily offended. We live in a culture of offense. You know, you hurt my feelings. I'm sorry. And you know what Scott just almost just said? I really don't care if I hurt your feelings, but I should. Because I love you, and so I don't want to hurt your feelings, so I'm going to let God's word hurt your feelings, and I'm just going to step back and then be there to love on you. But just forgive you. Your life's going to be so much simpler. Just put it down, okay? These mental things that we have, these grudges that we carry, you know, and you may not even categorize it as a grudge. You just may avoid people. You may just say hey and not even stop to talk in the hallway, at work, at church, in your neighborhood, wherever it is. You know, the Holy Spirit's gonna, next time this happens, my prayer is the Holy Spirit says, okay? And just alerts us to the fact that, folks, we're not perfect. He's perfect. And look at this, after the semicolon, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also, and here it is, folks, a big word. You ready for it? Here's a command. Must forgive. Okay, I wrote out, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. So you also might want to think about forgiving. Thank you, bro. I kind of, when I read that was my response. Like, really? Well, let me pray about it. No, you don't need to pray about what's clear. Honor thy mother and father. You don't have to pray about that. Okay? Have no other gods before me. You don't have to pray about that. That's a command. This is a command language. So you also must forgive. Okay? Why? Because it's going to eat you up, and Jesus knows it. Jesus knows that we're not Him. Okay, so if we don't forgive people, it is going to turn into a root of bitterness in our own hearts. And so Jesus set the prime example. While we were yet sinners, He forgave us. He loved us, and already the plan was in motion to die on our behalf. So we've got no excuse. Do not forgive someone at your own peril. Okay? You're not going to hurt them a bit. You can carry that grudge all you want to. You can just be despiteful and hateful and mean and all the other things. You're doing it at your own peril. It hinders your prayers. It gets in the way of your relationship with God. It begins to poison other areas of your life. I don't want to be that person. I don't want you to be that person. I don't want to be around that person. Okay? So let's do all that we can to narrow in on that and say, Lord, who am I holding anything against? Who do I have a complaint against? Am I willing to forgive because you forgave me? That's a question. That's a valid question. And then 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This is not in my notes, but I'm just throw it out there. If you're looking for the peace of Christ to rule in your heart and you're not willing to forgive people, it's oil and water situation. Okay? The peace of God and our unwillingness to forgive is just there. There's a dichotomy that exists there. A great, great separation. Because I want peace, amen? We live in a crazy, chaotic world that wants us to be constantly agitated. I want to have peace in the Lord. I don't want my heart just completely in turmoil. There's enough chaos I've got to deal with. I shouldn't have to deal with it in my own heart because I'm being an idiot. Because I'm not willing to do what God commands me to do, and that's forgive people, to love people. For the love of all that is holy, please. For the love of all that is holy, be thankful that that we're not going to burn for eternity. Be thankful for that. I think we lose perspective on what lost people have before them, because all we can see is what they're doing right now. And we lose sight of the fact that every man, woman, and child we meet will spend either eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And we should do everything we can to proclaim Christ. And you're not going to be able to do that if you don't have the peace of Christ in your heart. It's just, you know, God has got a purpose for us. He's got a role for us yet in this world. If he didn't need, or he doesn't need it, if it was not his plan for the church to still be in the world, guess where the church wouldn't be? In the world. We are here for a reason, for this season, to have an impact for the gospel. And when it's all said and done, then it comes to an end. Until then, take your spiritual life off cruise control, put your foot on the pedal, and get after it. That's what we've got to do. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. Hey, I'm okay being a pinky toe. That's fine. You might be a thumb. You might be an appendix, which we still don't know what it's used for, but that's okay. Dr. Rick's going to come to me with an appendix. It's good for this. But that's okay. Right here, right now, in this building, in this fellowship, is a complete and whole body. And it's really weird to think about that us and another sister church who is walking the walk and talking the talk and following the Lord Jesus, they're a complete body, but you put us both together and we're a complete body. And then Church Universal is one body, because Jesus is not Mormon, okay? He doesn't have multiple brides. He's not a polygamist. So the mystery of that blows my mind. How us here in Roxborough today are part of the same church that's meeting in a basement in China. We're serving the same Jesus, and the same Spirit dwells within us. That's amazing and awesome. But we are part of one body. And be thankful for the love and the work of Christ. That He and He alone could do that. You realize that, right? That he is perfecting his bride. He didn't just put us, he said, you know, here's the book, do it. When you're squared away, when you're blemish free, I'll come back. No, he walks with us day by day, step by step, teaching us, exhorting us, rebuking us, calling us to a place of holiness and righteousness. He didn't just say, once you arrive, I'll marry you. No, he said, I'm going to help you get ready. I'm going to help you become the bride that I desired, that I deserve, because I'm a perfect and holy and righteous groom. Think if we didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, helping us day by day. We would be a train wreck. Many days we are train wrecks. Okay, think of trying to do this life without the Holy Spirit dwelling within. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Matthew, you're going to have time for one verse of one song, so pick it now. Okay? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. In verse 13, look what we're doing. We're bearing with one another. And now we're teaching and admonishing one another. Guess what God wants us to do with one another? To interact. To be real, to be transparent, to be the bride. One body. Okay? You cannot be an island. We need to know each other. I had a new guy on campus care this morning, and we were walking around, and everybody we met, I was like, do you know so-and-so? This is so-and-so. And introduce, and then later I realized, I was like, oh, no. And I asked him, I said, are you an introvert or an extrovert? I said, because if you're an introvert, you may not want me doing what I'm doing. Because I, too, am an introvert. And I'm shy, and I don't talk a lot. I didn't even ask the brother, okay? I just assumed that, hey, if you don't know him, you're going to by the time we walk by. Luckily, he was not an introvert. But, you know, we need to know each other. How can I admonish and encourage and teach and share your burdens and everything if we're just strangers that only see each other once a week? Maybe the small group that you see twice, or, you know, your life group, you may know. Do we know one another? Or do we only come to church and get into our comfort groups? You know, move around. Mix it up. I know Charles was in a Sunday school, and it really threw me because they had made a thing where they were going to sit in a different place every Sunday for a while. And it blew my mind because Charles was here, then Charles was there, then Charles was here. And I was like, I can't keep up with it. I'm Baptist. You're not in your assigned pew. You know, but we've got to get to know one another. How are we going to hold each other accountable if we don't know one another and love one another? And then admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I skipped the singing part altogether because I cannot carry a note in a bucket. And I'm just like, that's not going to edify anybody, Lord. But I will have a thankful heart. I am thankful that Christ saved me. I am thankful for you. I love you guys. You folks are awesome and wonderful. And together we can do great things for the kingdom. It is awesome what God has done here in this little town to put us all together right now, today. We are complete. We have what we need right here in this room to make a gigantic impact for the kingdom. Amen? We're just one body, and that's beautiful. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And whatever you do, the easy and the hard. There's easy things that you do, and there's hard things you do. Okay, it's easy to go out and mow the yard and pick up sticks. It's hard to come along beside somebody who's grieving, who's lost someone, who's going through a bad patch in a marriage, who's lost a child, who's, you know, just suffering. But we can do it. Why? Because we're doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. He has not withheld from us anything that we need to do the mission that He's called us to do. Our magazines are not empty. The shelves are not empty. The storehouse of heaven is not empty. We have at our disposal everything that we need to be like Christ. To be moving on that upward trajectory. Folks, we are always doing something. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through Him. You're always doing something. You're doing something right now. You'll be doing something this afternoon, tomorrow. There is no getting around this. 1 Corinthians 10:31 jumps to mind. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do can be showing the world Christ and Christ alone. Let's do that. And whatever, I'll close with this. That word whatever means everything. Okay? Everything. There's nothing that we should be doing that does not glorify Christ. So check your heart. That's my encouragement. If you're doing stuff, you know He knows. But don't leave here discouraged. Thinking, gosh, I've got so much work to do. Leave here joyful that I've got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within me. And that which is broken inside of me, that which is outside of His will, that which is not in alignment with the purpose that He has for my life, which is to glorify Him and to bring honor and glory to His name, I have the Holy Spirit in me. So it can get done. You're not leaving here unequipped. For those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are not in Christ Jesus, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would make you miserable. Because He can do that. Okay? If you're in rebellion against God, if you're in sin against the Lord, and you alone know it, I pray He would make you miserable in your sin. That's the best way I know to pray for somebody. To love on them. I'm not going to say, oh, good job. You know, pat them on the back. I'll be praying for you. No. Pray the, you know, for the, your loved ones. Those in your family that are lost. You know, just pray that God would change them. And sometimes, folks, being on the rock means we've got to get bashed up against the rock before we begin climbing the rock. Amen? All right, let's pray. Matthew, you do what you're going to do. I'll be down front. Jason will be down front. I promise to put a man in before I get down front, okay? If you need to come talk to one of us, please do. If you don't want to be that person who comes down front and talks to us, find us. Our phone numbers are everywhere. Emails are everywhere. All that stuff. Get in contact. Okay? But, folks, Jesus is calling. Oh, that would be a good song. I'm not changing stuff up. But, anyway, let's pray. Lord, we need Your peace in our hearts. We need the peace that surpasses all understanding. We need love for our neighbors. We need kindness and gentleness and meekness. We need holiness and purity. Not for our own purposes. Will it benefit us? Absolutely. Will it make our lives easier? Yes, if we're seeking after You. But Lord, we need these things because we want to be more like You. And we're not going to become more like You until we lay aside the things of this world. Until we truly take off the old and put on the new. And make it a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute pursuit of You. So Lord, You know the hearts that are here. You know my heart. Lord, give us no peace when we're in sin. Give us great joy when we're in Your presence. And Lord, let us love one another as You have loved us. Thank You for saving us. Lord, I thank You for the ones that are in this room. who are of the bride. Lord, I thank you for the ones who are here who are not part of the bride. That just something said today here today, Lord, would burrow into their heart and would just steal their peace. If they have it in their own minds, that they have peace in what they're in or what they're doing or who they are, if it doesn't line up with you, Lord, I just pray that you would reveal that to them. Because we, Lord, we want to celebrate at the end of the age, seeing all the faces that are here today in that glorious kingdom. We love you, Jesus. Amen.